up to 9, first of all. Hebrews chapter 9. There are two things that I want to accomplish by God's grace, by God's Spirit, with this message. Two things. First of all, I want to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to exalt the Christ. And secondly, I want to expose and denounce the Antichrist. Now, the theme of the book of Hebrews, as I've said before, is the glory, the honor, the majesty, the excellency of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews. It tells of the glory and the honor of the Son of God. And the theme is to show us how that Jesus Christ is superior to all things and all people. How He's better. Better than all. Chapters 1 and 2 tells us that Christ is better than the angels. Though the angels are high and mighty and glorious creatures, Jesus Christ is higher and mightier. Chapter 3 tells us that Christ is better than Moses. He's higher. Though Moses was a great servant of God, Christ is better. He's higher. He's greater. Chapter 4, which we'll be studying in a moment, Christ is seen as being better than Joshua, the one who led the people into the promised land. He's better than the Sabbath. He's Lord over the Sabbath. Chapter 5, Christ is better than Aaron, the high priest. And what Hebrews is telling us, listen, what Hebrews tells us is that Jesus Christ is all the religion a man will ever need. All the religion a man or woman ever needs is in one person, Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully to me. We're going to talk about the priesthood. I'm going to talk about the priesthood. Now, back in Old Testament times, there were priests. And this was instituted ordained by God Almighty. God Almighty is the one who started this thing of the priesthood. And every Old Testament office, that is the priesthood, and everything that they did, every ceremony, every symbol, every ordinance, every sacrifice, every tradition, were all types and pictures. They were all pictures of spiritual things. They had no spiritual benefit, really. No spiritual benefit except as the people saw them as being pointing to something spiritual. Especially the priesthood. Now look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 with me. I hope you have a Bible. I want you to look at this with me. The priesthood. There were two types of priests. Verse 6. Now when these things, now he's talking about the tabernacle. We've been studying that on Wednesday nights. Where God met with man, where the sacrifice was made, where the blood was shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness or remission of sin. Now, when these things, that is the tabernacle and the sacrifices, were thus ordained, verse 6, the priests, that is the common priests, went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. First of all, you had these common priests that ministered about the tabernacle, about the temple. They would prepare the bread. They would get the water. They would clean up around the place. They would sweep. They would work around the grounds. That's what the common priests did, okay? But, verse 7, into the second, that is the Holy of Holies, behind the veil, where God actually met with man. Into the second place went the high priest alone, one man. There's only one man that could go in and actually meet with God Almighty. They could actually go in and take the blood. He didn't go in there without blood, it says. God won't receive, won't accept, won't deal with anybody without blood. It can't just be any old blood. But this high priest alone, look at this, he went in not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors or the sins of the people. Now the Holy Ghost signified something in this way. Verse 9. These things were a figure. They were a figure for the time then present. They were a figure. They couldn't make the one who did these things perfect in the conscience. They were a figure. The high priest was the only one who could offer the sacrifice to God for forgiveness of sin. The high priest is the only one who could mediate between God and man, or talk to God for man and vice versa. He's the only one that God would speak through or be spoken to for man. Okay? Now, God Almighty chose that particular man himself. He started out with a family named Levi. Now, I'm giving you an introduction to this whole thing. God started out, he designated the family of Levi to be the family of the priesthood. Okay? Aaron was the first. Well, Melchizedek was the first. But Aaron was the first of the family of Levi. The first one. Aaron was hand-picked by God Almighty to be the high priest. And all of his sons were these common priests, okay? Moses was Aaron's brother. And he was the prophet. There you have the prophet. Moses was the prophet. Aaron was the priest. Who's the king? God's the king. Always has been. There you have Moses, Aaron, and you have God. Now, these things were a figure. Verse 10. They stood only in meats and drinks and different washings and carnal, that is worldly, earthly ordinances, rites, ceremonies, and so forth, until the time of the Reformation. I'm not talking about Martin Luther and John Wycliffe. He's talking about till God changed this whole thing. All right? All of this was, now listen, this priesthood, listen to me. All of this was instituted by God, not just so man could be religious, not so, just so he could play religion, so he could wear some fancy garments and go up and feel religious. You know, that wasn't the reason at all. God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had a reason for all this. Now listen, it's going to be a blessing to you. This was a book that God had written, and it had an epilogue to it. These were the beginning chapters. This was a story with an ending. This was a story with a moral to it. This was a story with a final chapter to it. These were the first chapters. The last chapter was written 1900 and some years ago. All of these things were merely shadows or figures or representations or symbols or pictures or prophetical signs of somebody who was going to come. One person. Listen to me now. One person who was coming in time. One person. Somebody who was going to be all of these things put together. Prophet, priest, and king. A prophet like unto Moses, but better. Infinitely greater and higher and more glorious than Moses. Moses was just a prophet. God spoke to him, revealed some things to him. Somebody's coming who is, Moses called him, that prophet. Not only would he know some things, he knew all things. That prophet, the one who's coming. And Moses wrote about it. Moses wrote about that. He said, I'm just a boy, I'm just a prophet. There's coming that prophet. And you'll hear him. You need to hear him. Then there's a priest coming. A priest, a common priest. Remember I said the common priest ministered about the things of the tabernacle? A man was going to come. A common man. He was going to work around the grounds. He was going to minister to the people. He was going to prepare bread. Going to prepare water, Joe. Clean up things. Clean some things. And more than that, more than just a common priest, going to be a high priest too. Going to be a high priest. Like Aaron, but better. Better than Aaron, greater, higher, more glorious. Not just a high priest. Scripture says he's going to be a
great high priest. One who would, you know, these high priests, like Aaron, they would offer over and over, sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice, day after day, the blood of animals. But not this one. He's going to offer one sacrifice. He's coming to the earth. He's going to offer one sacrifice forever. One great high priest with one great sacrifice. And he's going to do away with the rest of it. After he offers this one sacrifice, they're all going to be done with. Every bit of it. Done with. Over and done. It's not going to be the blood of animals, but his own precious blood. This man who was coming was going to offer himself as a human sacrifice. But more than that. Who is this? Who's this talking about? This one who's going to come. Let's read about him. Look over chapter 10, verse 7. Let's read about him. He talks about himself here, verse 7. We read it back in Psalm 40. Then said I, this one, this is the one that's speaking here, this prophet, this priest who's talking here. Then said I, lo, I'm coming. I come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. Started in Genesis 3:15, went all the way through. Genesis 1:1, went all the way through. Writing about me, coming. The Old Testament said, somebody's coming. The Gospels say, he's here. The Epistles and the Revelation said, he's coming back again. This great one. He said, lo, I come. In the volume of thy book, it's written of me to what? Do thy will, O God. What's the will of God? The will of God was to save his people from their sins, to glorify himself, to save his people. He says, I come. This one says, I'm coming to fulfill all pictures and types and symbols, to fulfill the office of priest, to fulfill the office of prophet, to put away all sacrifices of animals, to do away with the tabernacle, to tear down the temple. He said, I'm going to tear down the temple. People didn't understand what he was saying, did they? 3 days, I'm going to tear down the temple. Have a new one. And above, verse 8, when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which were offered by the law, he said this, lo, I come to do thy will. He's going to take away these first things, the first priesthood, the first prophets, these first sacrifices. He's going to take away the first that he might establish the second. Okay? By the which will? By God's will. He said, I come to do your will, O God. I come to do this great and glorious work. By your will, by your power. I come to do your will. And it's by his will we're sanctified, we're saved, we're accepted, we're justified through the offering of who? Who is this? Look at verse 10. The offering of the body of Jesus the Christ. Once for all. Once for all. The body of Christ. Now turn back to Hebrews 4 with me. Let's dwell here a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. He said, I'm going to do away with all this. Now listen, this is eternally significant. The salvation of your souls is at stake in this message right here. Yes, it is. This is the gospel in no uncertain terms. Listen to me. Verse 14, Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Now listen up. We have a great high priest. Not just a priest, not just a high priest. We got a great one, a great high priest, the only high priest, the only priest, the only one. He says, now he's passed into the heavens. This great high priest is passed into the heaven. And it says this one is seated right beside God Almighty. Okay? He's called God's chosen. He says, I've exalted one chosen from among the people. Remember I said that God ordained Aaron? He handpicked Aaron? Well, this one is the one that God ordained and hand chose as his only high priest, the only mediator between God and men. People, we still need a high priest. We're still sinners. We've still got sin charged to our account.
And it's still without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It's still that way. We still have to have a blood atonement. We still have to have it. But not the blood of bulls and goats. It won't do. We've got to have the sinless, spotless blood of God's Lamb. God's sacrifice. Jesus Christ. We read that. We're sanctified. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. The body, the sacrifice of Christ and Him alone. We've still got to have that blood. Why? Because the soul that sins must surely die. And that's what blood typifies, death. And we deserve to die and to suffer for our sins. But Christ took the place of some people. You? I don't know. I don't know. But He took the place for all those that see their need of Him. All those that have a need of this high priest to offer this blood up on their account. We still have a need of a high priest. And He's seated at the right hand of God. Look at it. Seated. He's passed into the heavens. His name is Jesus, the Son of God. Now, He says, let us hold fast. If you profess, if you confess, if you see your need of Jesus Christ to be your Lamb, your blood sacrifice, He says, hold fast to Him. Profession of your faith in Him. Your faith. Now listen to me. Everybody in here, I want your attention. Roman Catholicism still maintains the priesthood with their sacrifice of Mass. That's what that is, a sacrifice. They do that for the oblation, for the putting away of sin. They have a priest who administers blood, what they say becomes the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. They say it actually, the bread and the wine actually becomes the blood and the body of Christ. And the priest is the only one who can administer that. Well, they're right. The priest is the only one can, but there's only one priest. He's sitting in the heaven. Isn't that what they said? There are no more priests. This man, that's blasphemy, what they're saying. But this man, the Scripture says, offered one sacrifice forever for the putting away of sin. One sacrifice. There are no more sacrifices. There remaineth no more sacrifice, the Scripture says. For by one offering He hath perfected forever. Look back at Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. By one offering, I want you to look at it with your own eyes. This is searching the Scriptures, looking at it yourself. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are set apart, that are chosen, that are saved by God Almighty. We don't need another high priest. We've got one. We don't need another sacrifice. We don't need the Mass. We had one. Christ on the cross. Verse 16. So this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. What days? After He offered that sacrifice. Listen. God says, I'll put my law in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. In their conscience. We'll put the law. God says He'll put the law in the people's heart. We don't need a law or a council to come down from Rome. A holy see. We don't need that. That's what that means. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We don't need to confess to a puny man. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Who? Not a man sitting behind a curtain. Him. The one that's seated in the right hand, in the heavens at the right hand of God Almighty. Him. He is the faithful one, the great high priest. Besides that, confession to old Father Merle down here, whoever his name is, that just feeds his perverted little brain. His perverted little mind. He just delights in hearing what you've done all week. He goes home and thinks about it. Rolls it over in his mind. He just delights in that. The Scripture says confess your faults one to another. It doesn't say confess your sins to any man but one. One high priest, Job. One. Confess our sins to Him and Him alone. Okay? Verse 18. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin, no more sacrifice, no Mass, no need for a priest. We've got a priest. A great high one.
And there's certainly no need for a so-called
pope.
Now, our people are I bet you most everybody in here is ignorant of what's going on today, and it needs to be exposed. I told you now I'm going to exalt the great high priest and expose and denounce the Antichrist. All right? We've got a great high priest. We don't need a so-called pope. You know what the pontiff means? You know what pontiff means? It means the way maker, the one who makes the way. We got somebody who made the way. Christ said, I am the way, not the pontiff. You know what pope means? It means holy father. Christ said, call no man your father which is on earth. You got one father which is in heaven. He said, call no man rabbi, teacher. You got one great teacher, the Lord of glory. He said, call no man reverend, because the scripture says holy and reverend is his name. Right? Call no man potentate, which the Masons and the Shriners do. He's the great and mighty potentate. The scripture says he's the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant of these things, of these devices. You know what all this is? It's Antichrist. It's Antichrist. Anything that takes the place of, and the Pope calls himself the vicar of Christ, the one who represents him. Anything, anybody who takes the place of the Lord Jesus Christ is Antichrist. Anybody who takes away anything that takes away from the offices, the glory, the supreme honor of Jesus Christ is Antichrist. And we need to be warned about it. We have a great high priest. He's the most right, reverend, doctor, Jesus Christ. That's who he is. Father. Call no man reverend, doctor, right reverend, father. Don't do it. And it also, I'll tell you what, this so-called free will works religion. They make a pope out of man's will, don't they? Little popes. You're all little popes. You decide. You make the way, right? That makes a pope out of man's free will. Listen to me. Go back to Hebrews 4, verse 15. Folks, we got a high priest. We don't need another one. We don't need another one. I don't want another one. I'm not going to confess my sin to some wretched, miserable man who's got more sins than I do. Right? I ain't going to kiss the ring of some wrinkled old pontiff or his little toe. I'm going to kiss the Son. Lest he be angry, the scripture says. I'm going to bow at the feet of my great high priest. I'm going to denounce every fool and every false Christ and prophet that comes along. We all need to know these things. Don't be ignorant of their devices. Don't be ignorant of what's going on here. I feel sorry for people that are in this. People that are in Catholicism. They've been led astray. Not totally to be pitied, because they heap to themselves teachers having itch in the ear. They like it that way. But I do feel sorry for them nonetheless. I don't feel sorry for these maggots who are at the head of, responsible for all this. I'd like to call down fire from heaven on every one of them. These priests. There are no more priests. There's one priest. And one father, one rabbi, one reverend. Listen to me. Verse 15, chapter 4. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a high priest who is approachable. He's not sitting in a golden palace with a fish on his head. He's not holed up in some cathedral chanting his Latin liturgy. He came down here as a man, a working man. A man, a holy man, albeit. But a working man walked among us. The scripture said he's tempted like we are. He knows where you're at, where you're coming from. Not a man who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Christ knows he was here. He knew toil and labor and pain and sorrow and suffering. He knew the trials and temptations everyday people go through. He knew it. He went through it. He's touched. But yet without sin. He didn't have sin. That's necessary. He knew no sin. He He thought no sin. He committed no sin. You see, he didn't just come down here to feel sorry for us. He came down here to get rid of sin. Get rid of it. Not just to feel sorry for you and your sin, but to do something about it. That old boy that you supposedly confessed to, he can't do anything about it. Oh, he might. He might tell somebody else. Spread it around.
Christ, who I confess to, he can do something about it. He can get rid of it.
He did. He was made sin, the Scripture said. He took my sin. He said, you've got sin? Yes, Lord. I'm covered with it. My sin is ever before me. He said, give it to me. Take it. He took it. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. And he gave us his righteousness. Those that come to God by him. Those that believe him. Those that see their need of him. He gave this righteousness to you. That's the only way God will esteem you perfect. See that righteous covering Christ gave. And then he went to heaven. After he died and paid the penalty for these sins, he went back and sat down on the throne of heaven. He sat down in heaven. But look at verse 16. So he says, let us come to this throne. But wait a minute. It's not just any old throne. It's not a high and mighty throne like I'm talking about the pontiff sits on. With his little stick and his fish hat and all of his golden robes and all of his ministers about his feet and so forth and goes down and throw his little holy water. No, this man sits on a throne, all right, but you can come to him. It's a throne of grace. It's a throne of grace. Grace, mercy and grace. He says you can come to find help in time of need. Any old time. Don't have to have an appointment. Don't have to go over the wrongs. Any old time, 4 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock now. Any old time you have a need, you can come to the throne. And he'll see you personally. Personally. You don't have to wait on him to come down out of St. Peter's Basilica and wave his miserable little hand over you. You're making a lot of fun of him. Oh, it nauseates me. Now, as I said, look at verse 5. Before, I said this, he was a man. He was a man. Pope and his priests aren't men. Most of them are homosexuals anyway. Here they are. It's rampant. It is. Verse 1, every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God that he may offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. Christ was ordained. He was chosen from among the people. A man among men. He was a man, all right. Verse 2. Because he needed to be a man to have compassion on the ignorant. To have compassion upon men, on women. Who are out of the way. Come to be the way. To find those out of the way. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Christ was compassed. He was made lower than the angels. Yet without sin. He knew what it was to be limited, in a sense. Verse 3, by reason hereof, the high priest, now this earthly priest, he ought for himself also to offer for sin. The high priest had to offer sacrifices for himself because he was a sinner. Christ, though, even though Christ was not a sinner, the Scripture says he was numbered with the transgressors, though. He became, as it were, the greatest sinner who ever lived. Not in action, not in actuality, but God made him sin. And he offered up himself. He was the sacrifice. Verse 4. Now no man takes this honor unto himself. No man. Nobody takes this honor unto himself. But he that is called of God, like Aaron. No man is voted in. The high priest isn't voted in by man. Isn't chosen by man. He's called of God. Just like every preacher of the gospel. And certainly Christ, ordained, chosen, like Aaron. God from heaven said, Aaron, Moses, Aaron is my chosen one. So Christ, verse 5, also glorified not himself to be made an high priest. Listen to me. He lived and walked this earth for 30 years, working out righteousness perfect. Thought, word, and deed. A perfect man. Ricky lived just like a man for 30 years. Bound in the flesh, like a man, but a perfect man. A spotless man. For 30 years, Scripture says he grew in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man, right? Until finally, one day, When he was 30 years old, one day he walked down to a pool of water one day, and God couldn't contain himself any longer. And God from heaven called him. He said, "That's my high priest right there. Everybody look at him. All eyes on him. Right there. There he is. That's my son, my high priest. Only one. You going to come to me? You got to come to him. My son, I'm well pleased in it. Hear him. Confess to him. Call upon him. Come to him. Confess him. This one. This one. This great high priest. My son. Thou art my son. Mine only begotten, well beloved son. My son. My chosen. Mine elect in whom my soul delighteth." Scripture said. The high priest. The Lamb of God. John said it. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." There's only one. There's only one. There are no more. The great. Seeing then that we have the great high priest. Now none of us seem to be taken up with those things I was denouncing. But the world is. The world is. And it could be we're a little too tolerant of, or a little bit too ignorant of, what's going on in this world. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Didn't Paul say even now the spirit of Antichrist is at work? Didn't it? It's even now it's at work. And folk, we live in a pagan, idolatrous land. It's full of all this stuff. And even though the Catholicism has its priests and so forth, the Southern Baptists, they have their reverends and doctors and so-and-so, don't they? The Methodists, Episcopalians, all these people, they have their free will pope, you know. There's one, like I said at the very beginning, you don't remember anything I ever said, remember this. Jesus Christ is the only religion a man will ever need. The only priest you'll ever need. The only reverend, the only doctor. Right? Right. The only sacrifice. And I tell you what, you need him. I need him. Desperately. Desperately. Whether we know it or not, we need him. Stand with me.